my message tonight. And this is one way I've always been able to get an amen, the once a year amen out of this congregation. We'll be brief. Thank you. I know that you're used to hearing the Luke story, and you heard instead the John story. Light and darkness will be our theme tonight. Light and darkness, which you will act out in the candle lighting after communion. And speaking of light, did you know, I just found this out, that there is a light bulb in a fire station in Livermore, California that has been burning for 107 years. It's true. Larry's seen it. You can see this on a webcam at www.centennialbulb.org. And I tuned in. It wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. But I want you to imagine a light bulb piercing the darkness for 107 years. Imagine, that began burning 30-something years after the Civil War was over. It burned brightly during World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, all during the Great Depression and before there ever was a Lake Greenwood here. Now I want you to keep your imagination in gear and consider what we heard from the Gospel of John about Jesus. Compared to the other Gospels, John is as different as a ruby is from a diamond, both precious and valuable, but so very different. John is so deeply theological and so densely packed with meaning that it cannot be read as history. It cannot be read linearly. No, the Gospel of John demands to be read as inspired poetry of the highest sort. And it begins with the power of God, described as the Logos, or the Word. And this Word, which was the very power of God in creation, a power that was spoken forth and everything came into existence. This Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, a light in our darkness. I think you see what I mean. It is theologically inspired poetry of the highest sort, and it demands all of your brain and more to fathom it. The Word became flesh. That points to a reality behind this one, or I might say a reality above this one. The reality which has always existed, and in that reality, God has always dwelt. And out of that eternal reality, God created everything we see. And the life we share in, and the time we pass through. And this is a theological birth story. The God who existed above, beyond, and behind all that we see became flesh and dwelt among us. And I remember trying to explain this whole concept to a young boy in a Sunday school class years ago. And when he finally got it, he looked at me and he said, "Whoa, whoa indeed." Christmas is a wondrous and mystical day in which we celebrate eternity coming into our time, the Trinity coming into our history. God become flesh to live before us the way God always wanted us to live before Him. God came in flesh to reveal just how far God would go to prove His love for us. And as we say and sing, God came in Jesus Christ as a Savior. And we need one. As we celebrate communion in a few moments, we celebrate that He came to live before us the will of God, and to live before us the love of God, and to die an atoning death for you and me. He defeated our sin and darkness with love and light, and so His birth, if you look at it as Luke does, His birth appears at first to be a tragedy, falling from so high to so low, and His death at first appeared to be a tragedy. A man who was lauded as king and was then crucified as a common criminal. Why do we celebrate? Well, we celebrate because we know the end of the story. Because we know that He did for us what we could not do. He lived and loved and forgave in a way that we could never do. And He followed God's will and resisted temptation in a way we could never do. And He died a perfect sacrifice with a perfection we could never obtain. And His life power, which was the very power of creation, overcame even the darkness of death. He broke the chains of sin and death. He offered us light and a path and an open door and a way out of selfish sin and a way to see and to actually notice and care about other people. God's Spirit enables us to do that, to live as Christ lived. And it is that light, that path, that open door, that way out of selfish sin, the ability to drop the scales from our eyes and see each other, that ability to forgive each other, all these things, all this light in the darkness came to us in Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. And He was the light that came into the world. And through Him we saw the glory of God the Father. And through Him we gained hope. Hope in the knowledge that darkness and despair is not the way the world has to be. And suffering selfish, singularly in silence is not the way I have to be or you have to be. Because there is hope. Because there is Jesus Christ, a light in this darkness. And the darkness cannot put it out. Sometimes God's light seems dim, but it cannot be put out. In communion, you know, it is more than a remembrance. It is a connection with all those who have gone before, with the God who has walked where we walk and felt what we feel and overcome what we shall face. God is with us, and that gives us hope. Christmas gets all this hope rolling, begins all this blessed hope with such a small gift, a child who turned what seemed to be a tragic birth and then a tragic death into the greatest hope we could hope for. Light, a light in the darkness. The world's darkness, my own personal darkness, your darkness. Into it, Christ comes with light and hope. Our hope and our purpose is to reflect that light. I'm going to close with a story, which you'll think of in a moment when we get to the candles. There's a church in the countryside outside of Geneva, Switzerland, that was built more than 300 years ago, and it's the home of a centuries-old tradition where everyone brings their own light, their own lantern. There is no light, there is no candelabra in the church at all. A tourist who went to the church describes his visit this way. He said, "It was the night of Christmas Eve candlelight service. I got there early and I entered and the church was totally dark and I thought maybe the whole service had been canceled for some reason. And as I made my exit, I saw at a distance light moving slowly in the direction of the church. And then from various points, I saw more and more light coming toward the church. And soon I could see the light bearers, men and women and youth, each holding up a lantern. And as they came into the church, they hung their lanterns on hooks that jutted out from the church walls. And it wasn't long before the sanctuary was radiant with light. And after the service, I spoke to one of the parishioners about this tradition, and the parishioner said, it's been going on for almost 300 years, and of course we could afford electricity now, but we wanted to preserve the symbolism of this custom. And when we meet a fellow parishioner who wasn't with us, we say, we missed your light." The prophet Isaiah reflected on the coming of Messiah and spoke these beautiful words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And on those who live in a land of deep shadow, a light has shone." Have you seen that light? Reflect it to others and continue the ministry of the babe of Bethlehem, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.